this is like a name dropping stupid story, but I met
you got one in. You got Ariana. Yeah,
I met Ariana. No, no. Degenerates.
Dude, you were the first comedy show I ever saw in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it?
Gotham.
Well, that's cool.
A while ago.
Nice.
What was it, like a random, like you were just seeing a show?
Yeah. Back when.
Before you started stand-up?
Yeah, I was like 18, I think.
Okay, that's cool. Who were you there with?
My ex.
Ooh, a girl or a guy?
Girl.
Wow. Are we recording? Yeah. Okay. She's a bisexual.
I am.
Biracial, bisexual, baddie.
Yes.
So the first comedy show you ever saw was Jared Free. He's probably one of the first I've ever seen, too.
Yeah.
That's how I met you.
I like to be everyone's first.
You're everyone's first. You popped our cherries.
Helping everyone get into the comedy world.
So you were the girl?
Yeah, nice. I was a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm bi, but I was gay.
Yeah, yeah. I used to do these shows called Vinny and Friends, where I was like trying little stand-up things, and my agent would book me. And I think I was in, what was that place? Westchester or whatever, Levity Live.
Levity Live.
What the fuck is that place?
I mean, what I liked about you doing Vinny and Friends was like, it was an admission that like, I don't want to just go up and do the whole show.
Absolutely not. I couldn't.
You see and Friends on a show, that means the comedian is out of material.
Oh.
Really doesn't have much to do. So they want to fill up the show. And I do think that's like respectful. You know, like it's like, oh, okay. Like I want to go up and do 10, 15. I know people are going to come for me no matter what.
Yeah.
They want to just be in the room with me at a minimum.
Okay.
You know, laughing is like a bonus is, you know, if someone's famous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, I want to do a good job with my 15 minutes because it's, you know, it's more direct. I think it's like a good.
So like other, like real comics do it?
You just always see and friends. It's
to,
someone,
to work on
material.
Shit? Or, yeah, just they're working on shit.
Yeah, or they like just taped a special.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, the live show after the special is the and friends show.
Okay. My and friends was like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
My friends know what I'm doing.
Did you do stand-up or did you just host?
I think I was hosting it. And now that I've been doing stand-up more, that was probably the worst thing. I don't like hosting.
I thought it was good for you. I thought it was egoless. I actually like commended you for it.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, because you could have just gone up and been like, I'll just tell my stories.
Mm.
You
know, oh, you were storytelling.
And you were like giving back to stand-ups too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, you know, that was the best. Meeting all the
show,
stand-ups.
Right, like it wasn't like I
you
had
on
people.
Shows?
Yeah, so I would go on the show. So like,
that's how I met him and I was like, this guy's fucking hilarious. I'm like, be my friend.
Right. And but they were fun shows. Like, I just want to do shows. And
yeah.
Fun, you know?
Yeah. Now, looking back though, I've been doing it more like grinding, actually going up, not just the end friends thing. I've been going up at like a real comedy clubs. People don't really know who I am and developing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to do that again, but I think I'll have an actual set instead of just like, your next comedian is, and then try a joke.
Well, I think like you want to get used to being on stage. So like hosting is a really good
way
to do
that. Those are big rooms. Like the fucking Levity Live or whatever.
That was a huge room.
Like my first comedy show. I'm like, oh, this is comedy. Like, you know, like, it's not like the grungy basement.
How much?
What can it fit? A couple hundred? Like 400 or something?
It's a big club. So it's over 300.
It's like a club in a mall.
Yeah. It's a fun club. I've always had fun there, but like, you can hit some, you know, some 30 people shows in a 400 seat room is like brutal.
Yeah, but you know, 30 people in a 30 people room is
that's
cool.
That's great. That can be fun. Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all context, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still do a lot of stand up? Cuz I know you're
every night.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. You know? Where do you do it every night?
Just the Cellar.
Like, the Cellar, right?
Comedy Cellar, Gotham. I was at Gotham the other night.
Mm.
I would go, you know, I go anywhere, but I'm on the road a lot. You know, I'm on the road right now. Like, I have a new hour that I taped a special December 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It came out on Netflix August 15th, 2023.
Amazing.
And then I was ready that weekend with a whole new hour. And the whole new hour is a 1 hour story about going to the beach with my family.
About
going to the beach with my family. And it's all about like my relationship with my parents, body issues, like the millennial boomer relationship, which is kind of like weirdly financially tied. Like we like kind of have to deal with our parents. So it's like, it's been cool because I tell people, bring your parents. Like, it's a fun show. Like, and it's not like, you know, I'm not a dirty comic, but I'm not a clean comic. I'm talking to the parents the way I would talk to my parents.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck off, dad. You know, yeah, like, yeah, it's yeah. not, this isn't like.
Also, the ladies love you.
I, you know, a yeah. lot of women come, which is fun. That's yeah. always good. And like, yeah, because I talk a lot about dating.
So. Wait, what beach?
The story that it started from was a 2-minute story that was Delray Beach in near Boca.
In Florida.
My okay. parents live in Boca now, and we go to the beach all the time, and we all have body issues, and we all love food, and it's all we talk about. So it's yeah. like about that. And
yeah.
I was doing this 2-minute story before, and that's the thing. When you go on stage, like you have to go on stage. Like I was going on stage while I had the other material for the special,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, I would tell this 2-minute story and see people get sad. But I like telling it.
Right, right.
And I was like, I think there's something here. And that takes time. Like what you're trying to do, what you're saying, like takes reps. Like yeah, to be able to like tell a story the way you know it's there, mm-hmm. but you know it ain't getting across. So the minute the special was taped, I was kind of like up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. Like you, there's no more crutches. Like mm-hmm. all my old jokes from when I first started that would work and weren't really me anymore. They yeah. were done.
Yeah.
So it forced me and I went and did this story.
Go deeper.
Went from 2 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 minutes. Now it's an hour 10.
That's
and
awesome.
It's like, it's fun. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Like when I was kind of chubby-ish when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah. I was not like a skinny genetically kid. You know what I mean? But like, that made no sense. I was not a genetically skinny kid. I had like little boobs and really? Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, it's a little pudgy.
I don't think anyone liked their body. I don't know. I think very
yeah,
few
I
people like
mine.
Loved their body growing
I
up.
I didn't, but I just thought like when I was a kid, I'm like, this is my body and that's my friend James's body and he has abs somehow. Like he's like, yeah, just whatever. And I didn't think about it. I just took my shirt off and I was like, this is it, you know?
Right.
As I got older though, now, like if I have like the extra couple 5 pounds coming on and stuff like that, like I'm like, guys, I can't take my shirt off.
But when you
I
were,
can't do
are
it.
You still doing, here, the, are you still doing the
Chippendales or
the
what?
Chippendales? No, but what was it called?
Keto?
The Keto Guido.
Yeah, like, right. So
are you still doing it?
I'm healthy. I don't do exactly ketosis, but I do like a low carb.
That's
paleo
the worst
thing.
Part about going on any diet.
What?
Is that because the worst part is that then people come up. It's if you're self-conscious about your body, which I am.
Same.
Someone will come up to you and go, are you still doing it? And you're like, well, do
yeah.
I look like shit?
Yeah.
You just did it to me. And I just did
yeah.
it to you.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean it that way.
No, I know.
But I go, I used to like eat peanut butter by a tablespoon. Like I was really
measuring.
Like, kind of measuring
yeah,
and people, where's the peanut butter? And I'm like, I'm a fat fuck. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, like it is like trying to be healthy is like vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, like because you're telling people, I don't like the vessel I'm in. I want it changed.
For sure.
And they get used to, I mean, so now
being
they,
fat?
Well, no, like I was, if they were used to you being fat, that's just what you look like, you know?
You but never if, look another way to them too.
Right. Yeah. So if you get thin and in shape and then you start to fall off a little bit, now you look different to
but
them. They're
people,
like, oh, what's different about you?
When
you
know? I gain weight, I get. Oh, getting jacked, man. And I'm like,
no.
I'm getting fat.
Yeah.
I don't go to the idea at 39.
You're looking
I'm
a little
to the gym. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. like with a stringer tank top trying to like bulk up. Like, no, my goals for fitness are to fit in a t-shirt well. That's all I want. I want to look good in a t-shirt in a picture. I don't even care if it looks good not in a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be in the picture. I want the Instagram post to not make me go,
it. It's all vanity. I wouldn't work out if it wasn't for like sexual attraction.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and when people say it's for anything else, you go, yeah, sure.
Like
I just don't
run,
believe them.
I don't know. But like to squat, you know?
Yeah. Like when I like work out, I like when I like to try to get jacked, I just get swollen and bigger.
Right.
And I just, I'm like, let me just try to be thin. Like, on TV and in pictures and stuff like that. Cause no, even if I was ripped up, it's just like, I don't like the feeling of like looking big.
Your face
you know?
Is big too.
Everything gets a little like bigger, you know?
I'm sure when you went on, you know, when the Jersey Shore was like first starting up, I noticed this with all reality shows. Mm-hmm. They all come back to the reunion show thin because they go
it's
on the show
drugs.
You
it's,
see yourself
it's the cocaine no.
well that the drugs the party yeah. but you see yourself and I know that from me I see myself on camera I'm like that's not who I see in the mirror like because when you look in the mirror you pose yourself you look at the right angle you take a picture from up here you know so
well women though they have it hard
I can't imagine.
Like if we put on a couple extra it's like oh he's a hot like dad bod you know what I mean but like women being ripped apart on those reality shows, you know, for their body. They're like in bathing suits. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's crazy. That's why that first and the guys do a lot of steroids too because of that.
Really?
Yeah. Like not all allegedly. I'm not saying my show, but like all these shows with the hot hunks right. everywhere and shit. Maybe not The Bachelor because they're but just like corn fed fucking freaks.
But you see when The Bachelor goes from like that first season that people go on, like I'm sure your first season, you guys look like, you know, like baby deer. Like
with you're regular like people. Regular yeah, yeah, people. Yeah.
And then you come back that next season. It's that second season mm-hmm. where
the challenge.
Challenge. Yeah. The guy comes yeah. from being on the, like being one of the bachelorette you know, yeah. suitors to being the guy.
Oh, yeah.
The glow up is real. Like, look at Joey right now. That guy, Joey, when he was on The Bachelorette.
Not hot at all.
He was like
Joey Camasta? Wait, who's Joey?
Joey Grazadé. He's
is this the last Bachelor? Yeah. Okay.
And he was on Charity Season. And he had, you know, he was on it. And you were like, good looking dude. Yeah. Tennis pro, fine.
Yeah.
He came back for the after the final rose for Charity Season to be like, I'm the Bachelor. And I remember Kay York City, my co-host for the Bachelor podcast.
Yep.
She was like, different.
He's hot.
Like she was like, oh my God, who is this guy?
He did a cycle. You know? He did a couple.
Yeah. He did some. He went and sat with a trainer. I mean, there's gotta be these like TV trainers like that
for
know
sure.
what they're doing.
Yeah. Or what about that like Kumail, that guy?
Which oh, Kumail Nanjiani. I mean, like yeah. that guy goes in a Marvel movie, but that's the thing. Like they get chefs. They get like yeah. studio pays sometimes. Like, I would love to have a chef where I could be like, here's the amount of calories, and then I mm-hmm. only eat from you.
That's it. And I mean, that's what anyone can do it if you have that, you know?
Right. Like, time, huh? energy.
That's
money.
Like Jake Paul, like his boxing and shit. Like, I actually give him respect for doing it because he's doing it, but he has a leg up because he has so much money to have a team of trainers, right. nutritionists, chefs, and everything. That's why I'm like, DJ Khaled, what are you doing? Because he posts like his chef every day, but he's still fat. No, but he posts, he's like, yo, today they're making me this like 600 calorie amazing breakfast. Oh, really? Like his whole journey is like, because he got famous like from being on Snapchat and like documenting, vlogging his life, you know? Uh-huh. And he has like chefs and everything. And he works out every day.
Dude, with,
and he's just fat. He's just so funny.
I can relate. I have a little DJ Khaled in me. Like I'm a closet eater. So like my fat happens in the shadows.
Yeah.
You know, like when I, during the day, like I'm going to do egg whites, I'm going to do a protein
yeah,
bar
yeah.
and then I'm going to get to do my show. I'll do a cellar set. Yeah. And then I'm like, a martini sounds good. You had a good day.
But you don't
I'm
feel like you're ruining it now. Like I feel like when you put in all that work, like if you're putting 80% work throughout the day, I kind of don't want to do that. But if I'm cheating all throughout the day, I'm like, fuck it. I'll have the cookies.
See, it goes both ways. I've had that. I used to live with my younger brother and we'd like be hungover. We'd be like sitting in our apartment and we'd be like, is it a wash?
Yeah. Are we going to finish strong? Are we going to finish
day,
strong?
You know,
yeah.
But then there's that. It's a wash. announce it's a wash. Yeah. But there's the other version of it where you go, and this is what I do. I rationalize everything. I mean, I talked about it on the special. It's like, I talk about like the idea that like everything at Trader Joe's to me is healthy for being a Trader Joe's. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, I kind of do that move. Where, like, I did it the other night. I was so mad at myself. I went, and I think the problem is, I think if I took alcohol in my life, I have in my head that I would be 17 pounds. Like and I'm like, I'm afraid to do it because what if I'm wrong?
Okay.
You know, what if I just look like this? You know, like, and
you're not big.
I know
though.
I'm fine, but I'm like, I just like, I know that like, this is me with 5 martinis Tuesday night and ordering food at 2 a.m. So the dream is almost better than the reality.
You're right, you're right. Sometimes even like with mental health and stuff, I'll have like a plan and then like I'll do it and I'm like, oh, this is great. And then it doesn't work and I'm like, fuck.
That's, oh my God.
I'm like, I'd rather just be like fucked up and be like, and never try to do the thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because then at least like I have something to look forward to. I'm like, oh, that's... That medication, I don't take medication, but like, let's just say I did. Like, that medication is going to save me one day, you know what
right.
I mean? But if you do the medication and it doesn't you're like, what do I do now?
It,
you know?
Like, it being beyond you mm-hmm. is so much more depressing.
Out of control, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
than knowing the thing and thinking you know the thing. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, my brother's wedding's this week and I'm going from here to the airport. I'm going to go back home and go
right
to
now?
The airport. Mm-hmm. Oh, my brother's, nice. It's this, I'm wearing the hat, I'm wearing the merch.
Oh shit.
My brother Harry Du Crew.
Harry Du Crew.
This is so
the wedding is this weekend.
This weekend in
Boston?
St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis.
She's from St. Louis.
Okay.
And you know, I have to wear a suit Friday night and a tux Saturday night.
Okay.
I have them in my closet. Mm-hmm. For the last 3 weeks, I've avoided trying them on. I just don't want to try them on. And I'm like,
just want to squeeze in that day, you know?
Like, I'm just like, they fit. Then I'll like wake up in the middle of the night. I'm like, they don't fit. Like, I'm going to, like, I have these like nightmares. And I, now last night, I like, it's like, last night I put myself in a position to feel this anxiety, feel horrible because I'm like, if this doesn't fit, now I'm going to feel bad that it doesn't fit and I don't have a suit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I tried it on last night and I was like, okay, we just made it.
You
like,
just made it.
Like,
yeah,
we're not buttoning the jacket.
That guy.
Do you have like an almond mom? Like, did were your parents?
I'm from that generation.
What's like, an almond mom?
It's like the moms that don't encourage eating. They eat like almonds for like their fat.
Oh my god!
It's well,
I wish
to me.
I have the opposite.
Me, that was every '90s mom.
Yeah,
was like
that's my mom.
Right, like the chips with Olean.
Yeah,
like that like Olean chips. I remember when that came out. It was like this different oil that made you shit your pants, but it was like. Had no
heart,
fat.
Yeah. Heart healthy.
Right. And like everything in my life has been this, how do we trick our way into not gaining weight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the almond mom, everything has been given like a term, gaslighting, almond mom, everything's been therapized, you know, like, and I'm just like, to me, like like, you know, my mom would be like, you got to, it's always eat, eat, eat. Be careful. You're eating too much. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It was this push pull of things. And I think that was like, all families back then, this idea of like, we didn't even know calories were the issue. Like, that's how far
no one ever mentioned this.
Right. Like now I watch, what's his name? He's Syat Fitness on Instagram. He's fantastic. Uh-huh. He like, he makes it real world. He takes all health and fitness stuff and makes it real world.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of calories in, calories out, like that's the answer to all weight loss. Like, like plain and simple. Like I'm not a health professional. I don't know shit.
No, that you're right.
It's math.
Yeah,
and growing up, it was all emotion. It was all, let me have the chips with Olean that make me shit my pants.
Yeah.
But it's Olean. Like I'm doing it. I get to have chips still. It's like, why not have the good chips that don't make you have diarrhea?
Yeah.
And have three of them.
Right.
You know, like, and that it's just, I want volume.
Yeah.
And the 90s moms, they were right before like J-Lo. So they miss, you know what I mean? Like my mom's beauty standard is still like Gwyneth Paltrow. Like when I have the flu, she's like, oh my God.
Oh, because J-Lo's a little thicker?
Yeah. And then that's when the big butt thing.
Yeah, let's
like,
go.
For the white guys and everything.
J-Lo doesn't get enough credit for the big butt revolution. The Kardashians kind of took that over from her.
For sure.
Yeah.
I always thought that
J-Lo's was real though.
There's a lot of J-Lo hate going on right now.
Oh my God, she's so cringe.
What, the documentary?
Yeah.
She's in doing this movie? Jenny from the Block thing, and like you see all these TikToks of people
that was funny.
From her block.
Yeah.
being like, I knew where you went to school. Like, you know, but that's kind of like the world now. Like, everyone's trying to, like, you only get a seat at the table if you tell your tale. And it has to be like, you know, living in the land of I didn't have it enough. Where
she doesn't seem like Jenny from the block.
With like her hair
she
out.
Seems like Jenny from Beverly Hills. Like, she's in the gym or something.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a tough video to watch. And and she, you can tell like she's like very much trying to like, you know, co-opt a certain type of person, you know, like to like connect with them.
Yeah.
And it's like, if it, the internet just figures it out always. You can't lie to the internet.
Right.
It just, it doesn't, I think like, and everyone tries and you just, it's tough to win that battle.
Are you seeing the quiet on set stuff going on?
Mm-hmm. What's that? Oh, it's the Nickelodeon.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon doc.
That has been out there too for a long time, but now it's like a documentary.
Yeah, it's like a 3-episode. I finished it last night. Did you watch it?
I'm not done yet, but it's crazy. I mean, not surprising at all though.
Yeah, it's just like the whole thing is like about this one guy, Dan Schneider,
right?
Who, that's like the weird part is that like he was like just the ringleader of like a million shows. Mm-hmm. Like why does one guy have all these shows? Like, you know,
ultimate power, ultimate corruption.
Right. It would be like less of a thing on him and he could have more of an excuse if he like had one show, but he like was the he was the king of like all these children, which was like kind of weird. So basically it's like just like inappropriate jokes, a lot of like feet things.
The
and
feet thing was like the one thing you saw.
A lot of feet
came out.
A lot of squirting on faces. A lot of like Ariana Grande's like pouring water on her face and stuff like that. Inappropriate, weird. I mean, back then maybe you're watching it and you were like, "This is just like silly." But now that you're looking back, like that, oh, like a fat writer like wrote like, "I want to see Ariana Grande like suck juice out of a potato when she's 13 is fucking weird, you know?
I'm sure they're just scratching the surface, though. You know what I mean? They're not going to release the real shit. You know what I mean?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it's one of those things where you put it all together.
Yeah, exactly.
You go,
from like 20 years later.
And you go, oh, this is children's show doing children's show.
Yeah.
And then you go, wait a minute. And I remember there was a moment before the stuff came out about the feet thing. Mm-hmm. You just heard that he like was this... He had every Nickelodeon show. And you were like, wait a minute. He was on some of the shows.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was on.
He was an actor who figured out this was like a business.
Yeah.
And then like there's other people like that. Like Mark Summers from Double Dare like owns the Food Network. Like,
it's,
you know,
so
like,
weird.
It's so
weird. It's like,
weird.
Why are you on the show? It's like, how much power do you need? He's like, no, I want you to see me. Uh-huh. I'm going to be in Good Burger.
Right. I thought it was an actor who like figured out that. Like, have you ever heard of... like Hallmark movies, you can like there are people that just write Hallmark movies. Uh-huh. Like you just submit, you can just be in that game. And if you know the formula, you just know the formula. So like there are people that are like, I make my living
writing Hallmark
movies, just switch out firefighter for police officer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, this guy was like, I know children's TV shows or something like that.
And there's something to that that I I'm not jealous of that guy, but I'm jealous of the person who zones in on like, I do this and I do this extremely well. I do the Hallmark movies. Like,
Cause
I'm just so spread out. Like I just like doing a bunch of shit, but I'm like, I don't know how someone's that focused to write about a woman editor at a magazine coming back to her hometown, 7,000.
You gotta find your niche.
I forgot how talented Amanda Bynes was, too. She was so amazing.
She was funny.
She was funny. Well, that's the thing. These are sketch shows.
Right.
They're sketch comedy shows. And like where he fucked up too is like, you know, a lot of in this industry, there's a lot of like, I feel like the directors and the producers feel like they need to be the crazy geniuses that like you walk into their office, they're like, get out, and like throw something. I'm a genius, you know? But he was doing that on like children's sets. Like if you're going to be that guy on the children's set, you probably have to have like a soft demeanor. It's like a different vibe. You're not in fucking Hollywood. You're not Harvey Weinstein. You don't want to be Harvey Weinstein of Nickelodeon. You know what I mean?
It's also this thing of like, what are you doing here, dude? Like it's like, it's like the parent that coached the Little League team.
Yes.
The kid grew up and they're still coaching the Little League team.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
you
know, your like, son graduated.
Right. Why are you still? And then you go, well, I guess it's his passion. They like to coach. But then when they're like just being mean, you're like, oh, I think you like this power.
Yeah.
You know, like I think.
Seriously.
Right.
I have a little bit of a, I was on one of those sets once.
Oh, you were on
the
Nickelodeon?
I was on a set because like my friend knew, I think it was the show Victorious. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
My friend like knew one of them or something like that. And like, I went to the set. I don't have a crazy documentary story or anything. Yeah, no. I went there and I met them. I met Ariana Grande. And funny story. And it was just, it was whatever. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like a Nickelodeon building, like in Hollywood somewhere. And there's like a name dropping stupid story, but I met.
You got one in. You got Ariana.
I met Ariana. No, because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Just names.
I fucking.
Nick Cannon showed up. Three of his kids.
I went to hang out with Scooter Braun.
Really?
Another one.
There we go.
And then he goes, I'm going to meet with this girl today. I think she has potential. Her name is Ariana Grande. Wow. And I was like, oh shit, I just met her on that show. She was just like a little redheaded girl. You know, I was like, I just met her. You know, I think she can sing too. I'm like, you should definitely like, I'm like giving Scooter Braun advice. I'm like, you should take that meeting. I
go, you
should
take credit for Ariana Grande right now.
You heard it right now on my podcast. I discovered Ariana Grande. I discovered Ariana Grande.
I see something. I saw her on Victorious.
I did. I see something in that kid. I was like the Jewish guy in the back of the fucking theater that like in the movies, like Back to the Future, like, you got to hear this.
So fun.
Sign her. Literally like a month later, she became like the biggest star in the world. Wow. I'm not saying I caused it, but I was just like, when I was watching that thing, I was like, oh, I was on one of those sets once and saw them. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. She was like, I don't know how old she was, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. But yeah, I discovered Ariana Grande.
Just that's so cool.
Yeah.
Was he arrested, Dan Schneider, at the end of the…
No, he did. He just did a follow-up, like his own thing with the Hollywood Reporter where… It was like his apology, but the real shit that came out was the kid from Drake and Josh that he it never came out till now that he was molested on the set.
By him?
No, not by him. Like, there were these like two pedophiles that like worked on these sets, which is weird. And that's where the guy Dan should take responsibility too, because he's in charge of everything. I was like, how do you fuck that up?
Yeah.
Like, the one place not to have pedophiles is a children's Nickelodeon set. And they had two.
Yeah, I'm sure they
knew.
The
fuck?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just like, you get sad for it because it's like, you have these TV shows and you're like, you watch them, you go, there's got to be kids' TV. Uh-huh. You know?
Right.
Like,
I know that has to be. Now, I know, because now I'm like, turn on Nickelodeon, I feel weird. I'm like, what the fuck is going on there?
Right, but then you go, you know, you got to have a workplace and then you open yourself up.
Like, even when things are good, I feel like it still ruins their life every time. Like, if you're famous from that young.
That's the thing.
Hillary Duff is the only.
It's seemingly.
Yeah. Seemingly, yeah.
Seemingly.
But I when you go on a set and like, I had like one line on a show. It was all day. Like, it was like tiring. Not from like the perspective of like I was doing like, you know, I wasn't in a coal mine. But like you're on your feet, off your feet, on, off, on, off. And you're like a kid going through this? Like, what parent? You just hope that the kids are like, I want to do this. And it wasn't like the parent being like, isn't this a good idea? What comes first?
Right.
Miley Cyrus had this autobiography that she released when she was 16, which is so funny. But,
but she had a lot. She had a story to tell.
After the first season of Hannah Montana, she was so stressed out that she developed a hole in her heart. Because, you know, she immediately had to tour as a musician as well, which she was not even like a real, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then they still were like, you got to do it.
I feel like Miley made it out.
She's
okay.
Pretty, you know, she's adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, like, she like went through a couple things, but she like kind of made it out for what she dealt with.
And now she's like, you know, like, even to see her at like the Grammys?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, this is like someone with their own music style.
Yeah.
Their own.
So
like,
yeah.
It doesn't feel produced. It feels very much hers.
So she loves like, the music. Like she's an artist, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what's going on in Bachelor World? Jared?
Well, hold on. When you're on a show, how old were you when you were on?
21.
So 21.
Yeah.
Like you're in that child, like I would consider that still growing up, you know, frontal lobe isn't
totally
solidified at that point. Like
sometimes I'm talking to a girl and I'm like, I don't know what to say to you. Like, I don't know how to communicate with you. Like, I feel like I was, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I was like I missed out on like socially developing skills that I would have like in the real world if I wasn't like famous. You know what I mean?
The thing is 21, were you graduated college?
I just graduated college.
So you just graduated. Like that's the time of life where you like doubt yourself the most.
Yes.
That's the time of life where you become a little more cynical. The world doesn't happen in like black and white.
Right.
More gray. That's the time where you're like, oh, adults aren't good at their jobs sometimes. Yeah. You know, like, so for you to have such major success at 21 and kind of like skip that whole like doubt yourself era.
Yeah.
Does that like, you know, that I'm sure like
that's
when it all comes down, you're like, wait a minute, everyone's on their careers already and I'm back to the, like, I don't know what the next step is. I'm sure that's like a little bit.
Well, the only saving grace of that was like, I just grew up like, my life was so, I don't want to say shitty growing up because like my parents were the most loving parents in the world, but like no money. Like we lived in a house where like the electricity would be turned off every week. Things were scotch taped together. Like it was just like a bad situation. Like I went through it my whole life.
Yeah.
The kind of struggle. You know what I'm saying? So
did
I was
you
like,
know it was a struggle?
No, not really. I was like, I mean, I kind of did get embarrassed like to have friends over at my house and stuff like that. I'd be like, have people drop me off around the block. Uh-huh. But
that's kind of the beauty of no social media during that time is like, you only know what you know.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
you're right.
I'm embarrassed my friends are coming over, but it's like, this is the one time. You know?
Yeah. Like it wasn't that much comparison. You know what I mean? It was just like, if I went to someone else's house, I'd compare myself to that. But yeah, no. So when I wasn't like just like, you know, having this great life and then had the success, you know what I mean? But to be, it did kind of like I said, just like fucked me up like socially, you know?
But even to go back to like the stand-up thing, like, you know, I got the ability to like, it's at the time you want to just be doing sold out shows, but I was given the ability, if you look at it on the positive side, to fuck up, to like go do open mics 3 times a night for like 2 years at a bar without anyone seeing, knowing, wondering. I could bomb. I could
it's
do
so
well.
Hard.
And then, you know, when we're doing the show at Levity Live, and mm-hmm. and I have like, you know, the act I had at the time, like I feel like I'm a little bit more ready.
Yep.
And you're like, let me try this. But now you got people there going,
oh no, I'm an open micer that has an audience. It's like the weirdest yeah. thing.
Right. But that's kind of like the, you know, that's the 21 of it all. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're 21 and you get this audience.
Just thrust it into.
And even at that time, like the idea of having your own audience wasn't really a thing. It was like,
I know.
People watched the Jersey Shore. You
know,
it wasn't like.
I know what I was thinking about that too. Like, you know? Comedians, like they weren't like, but before the internet and shit, like they weren't like many celebrity comedians. I love comedy, so now I'm starstruck
right.
by fucking comics that would have been in that green room of Levity Live.
Yeah.
You could count on your hand before social media.
Yeah,
you could count on your hand how many comedians could tour just because they were a comedian.
Yeah,
wow.
So like every other that could tour was friend in a sitcom, in a movie, you know, other thing mm-hmm. got people to know
some other big project.
Yeah. Yeah. So like. Now the other thing is your own thing.
Yeah.
Now the other
yeah,
thing yeah. is your podcast. Is so like, you know, for me especially, like I have people that come to my shows that like they're not stand-up fans. They're,
yeah.
they're fans of like, you know, The Bachelor and like for me it was always important like it to go do stand-up every night. Cause it's like yeah, I'm not gonna invite someone to my show and feel like it's not a worthwhile show.
Right, right.
And I also don't wanna do like The Bachelor all time.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do my thing.
On stage, The Bachelor?
I used to. I did a bit in my special about it. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, but the bit was a personal bit. Like it was
yeah.
like, it was my take on The Bachelor for my life, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't, you had to be, you have to be able to go up in a club and do it for people who don't know you to then have yeah. it be good enough to do for the people that do know you.
Yeah.
She always says, she's like, make sure you have jokes for, I'm discovering that, like jokes for all different types of people.
Right.
Because sometimes things work, like tell a joke about a dog, it works for these people, but then like a stupid Jersey Shore joke for those people, dating.
But I always told you, I always said to you, I remember doing those Levity Live shows, I was mm-hmm. like, you got to tell your stories. Like you're-
It's kind of how you feel though, about like you just said, like, you know, like you do want to tell them, but you want to make them personal to you to where
mm-hmm.
it's like universal of just, this is funny. You know what I mean?
But I remember you telling me a story about someone.
Because yo,
hiring.
I get embarrassed on stage, like fucking, like talking about reality shows. Like it's weird. Mm-hmm. I like literally, like I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I love the bits that aren't about that. It might be something subconscious, but
right.
I know
but
what you're going to say.
You yeah. told me the story about the woman hiring you to walk her down the aisle
yes,
because
yeah.
her dad passed away.
Yeah, I think
that's
you.
So
and
funny.
I just think that's so funny that's and so interesting funny. And like such a weird
Yeah.
thing that I think anyone, because here's the thing that, you know, may to ease your anxiety about it, like
yeah.
everyone can relate to a wedding
uh-huh.
or being at a wedding or seeing who someone walks someone down the aisle that isn't the dad. You go, what's the deal here? Like the wedding is relatable. You know,
yeah.
you are the story of I was hired is unrelatable,
yeah.
but you're in a world that is something that I remember saying this to you. I remember saying like, why and you end up talking about it on stage, I think a little bit. And
no, I
remember
did a bit
it working.
About it. And, yeah, it does work. I hate that
I
it works.
I was so happy.
I hate that
but
it works.
Why?
Though.
Why do you hate it?
I think it's like, I don't know, like if I was doing like a Netflix special to the world, I can like feel comfortable telling the story
mm.
or talking about Jersey Shore reality TV, you know?
Uh-huh.
But when I'm at like an open mic or I'm just around like and I'm by myself and there's nothing but, like I don't want them to look at me like a reality star or something.
But that's
you know
I
mean?
Understand what you're saying, but I think you will be what you just said, you want the you can see yourself telling that story on a special.
Yeah.
So you have to get to like the third level of the joke. Like
yeah,
you, have
yeah,
to,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you have to talk about it so much. And this is the hard part. This is about reps.
Yeah.
I think I just spend so much time not talking about that when I'm in just like a regular setting or something that like I just don't want to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But no, I get it. Like that's like you said, third level of that joke is fucking
third level is the relatable level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like just fucking my life, like being on reality, it's fucking crazy. It's fucking weird.
Right.
You know?
And now, you know,
I usually just open with a joke and end with a joke. Like, you know,
it's even more relatable now because everyone is their own reality show.
Mm,
everyone
yeah.
is face
that
to camera.
Black Mirror.
Right. Show. Like yeah. everyone's doing, oh, here's what I had for lunch. Here's what, here's where I am, especially when they go on vacation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
it is
vlogging.
Right. Everyone's yeah. kind of doing it.
Random old person.
You know, we got, that was a, we got a, an offer because like some woman said like I relate, she relate, I got an offer because some woman said I reminded her of her dead father. And she wanted me to walk her down the aisle at her wedding.
Oh my God.
Like, that's an insane story.
So I say, I've said it on stage.
And yeah. How did it go? Like, what was the...
Did you do
it? How was the joke?
Yeah.
The joke was like, I'd be like, oh, so like, at what point did you realize that I reminded you of her father? Was I like, fuck her, Paulie? And then she's like, that's my dad, you know?
Yeah.
That was like the joke, you know?
Wait, but I don't know why...
It's not level one, Jared.
It's too... like Jersey Shore. Like, because that's kind of separate from... It's not like an episode.
No. It was like, person? She was like... No. Like she watched the show.
Oh, okay.
And she... You know, because like at the time, just people just like loved us. They were just like... We were relatable. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And then there's a thing hilarious. Of like, what money do you accept? Like,
yeah, that's part of the joke.
Right. Like,
do you need that money?
Have you gotten like weird offers? Like, corporate stuff and like weird.
I just did a show at a country club in Boca.
Oh, nice.
And it was brutal.
Really?
And it wasn't brutal for them. I think I did okay for them.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, you're performing. And then my parents came. They brought their friends because my parents live in Boca now too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you're in a country club.
Country club in Boca sounds crazy. Yeah. That sounds like the most American...
I mean, it's
elitist thing.
It's out of Seinfeld. Like, it's like all these people, and especially, and I'm talking a lot about millennial boomer stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that generation, my parents, our parents, you know, they don't want to admit that they've gotten, you know, that they're out of the game.
They're older.
Like, I called it a retirement community, and that was like the most offensive thing.
Oh my God.
Say. They were like, whoa, boo. Like, they're booing me.
It's
I'm like,
country.
Oh, yeah, you guys are
club.
Working so hard down here.
Yeah. Like,
and it's like, they don't, and they do believe that. Like,
yeah.
It was fine. I just, my parents were like, we want to come. And usually my parents know to sit in the back. And I'm talking all about my family. So like people knew that they were there and my dad's just like perched up on the side. He wouldn't sit down.
Mm.
So like every joke, the whole audience would look at him, look at me, look at him.
Oh, that's
and funny. I was like, what are you doing to
yeah,
me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
why
yeah.
are you doing this?
Yeah.
And people yell out because they, you know, you're a kid to them. Even though I'm 39, you know, they're like,
right.
What's this kid going to tell me? You know, I like Jack Benny or some shit, you know, like, so, but it was fine. It's just like, you know, you go, every show is a wait, but it's like this, like, it's just like the woman who wants you to walk her down the aisle.
Yeah.
How much money?
Right.
Yeah,
I'll figure it out.
How much will you pay for that?
I didn't do it.
Oh.
I didn't do it.
Nah, see, that's how you know. That's the thing. When Vinny starts doing those gigs.
Yeah. Things are tough. Things are tough. Like when I was doing a Gotham Comedy Live, I was like, all right, Jared, help me figure out how to be a comedian in a week. I need 10 grand.
Oh, did he help you write that?
Yeah. I knew him at the time.
On the phone. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was giving me some pointers.
But for me, like, I'm just such like a, like, I love a story. Like, I love like, and I remember we were on the phone. I'm like, just tell the story the way you would tell it to anybody. Like, you know, my brother's wedding this weekend. I have a best man speech I gotta give. I'm like, I didn't write it out. I have one story I wanna tell. That's awesome.
Jared Freed gets to give your fucking best man speech, dude.
I mean, that's the thing.
Now you got pressure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I gotta do 15 right now.
Right. Like, what the fuck?
And I'm gonna have all these guys come out. You know, my brother's an athlete. I'm gonna have all these athletes come out to me. Oh, I thought you'd be funnier.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I thought you thought I'd be better at my life's work.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
You're from Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, same.
Yeah, where are you from?
Cambridge.
Yeah. I'm from Needham.
Okay.
How come you don't have the accent?
In my area, the people that ended up having the accent, it felt like they wanted to.
Yes.
You know? Like, my dad has an accent, but he's his whole life there. I left at 18 for college. I went to Penn State. So, like, you know, and then I came here. Mm. So, and my mom's from Michigan. So, like, the whole accent thing.
Mm-hmm. People ham it up, kind of.
I think men especially, like there's a hotness associated with it.
It's kind of hot. Honestly.
So there we go.
Like a blue collar, like white boy with like,
No, I get it because I'm from Staten Island. So it's like we have the same version
of that.
You
have a version of that.
Yeah.
But on a woman, it's terrible.
I remember I was like just doing like a show up there, like a prank show. And it was like an ambulance scene. So like we were in that EMT Boston world and I was like walking up the stairs and like there's just like it was freezing cold. This dude with red hair just spotted me in the staircase. He's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, it was just like the most Boston thing. I'm like, he's an EMT worker, red hair, freezing cold.
He's in the costume.
He's in the costume. And then he just said, I'm like, wow, this actually happens up here.
There's also nothing more. It's incredibly endearing, the Boston accent. Like, it's like, it's almost like, it's tough guy while also warm at the same time.
Right, right.
It's, like, I remember I got to the hotel and the guy, like, doing the cars. Like, I got out of the Uber and he's like, he's just a, everyone's just always on there, like ball busting nonstop. My grandmother was that way. Like, I did a show once and I got off stage. My grandmother's just like, take off that stupid fucking hat. And I'm like, it's just like nonstop.
I've never met a black person with the accent though.
Oh, I have.
You have?
Really? Absolutely. That's a good point.
You can't even picture it, can you?
I think I've heard.
I've met.
I'm fucked up.
Asians, black people.
Your
white
family
people,
doesn't
everyone's
have
got
it?
The accent.
No. They sound like, well, no, me and my mom sound like Valley Girls and the rest of my family.
Yeah.
Like normal black people.
Yeah.
Did they grow up in Boston?
Yeah, Dorchester.
Dorchester.
Yeah. So like real black, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that a white place?
No, it's a black place.
Oh, is it? Or are you being
sarcastic? No. I'm not being sarcastic.
It's a black place?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Dorchester. There's nothing I like more than, like, as I get older, like a Boston movie. They become like, I had to do like a top five movies, and like three of them are Boston ones. Like, you know, The Town, Departed.
Yeah.
And I mean, all those Ben Affleck ones.
Again, endearing tough guy.
Yeah.
That accent's endearing, like relatable for some reason.
Yeah.
But also you think that they're tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird combo. Like, you go to, like, you know,
never
Aruba
like
has
that.
A lot of Boston people because that, for whatever reason.
Aruba?
Yeah. Like
the island?
The island, Aruba, because.
Is it close there? Or what was it, a direct flight or something?
Yeah. I think what they do is they make, a lot of these islands will, like, make deals. The airports will make deals together, like the governments.
Yeah.
And, like, in Aruba, for whatever reason, how many years ago? This is, like, modern day, like, you know, caveman stuff. Like, how did we travel? What brought people from one place to the other?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if JetBlue does a direct flight to Aruba every day,
then
you're gonna get a lot of Boston people in Aruba. Like, like there's like Dunkin' Donuts on the beach in Aruba. Like, it's like stuff like that.
Right.
And
I never, that's so funny to think of it.
It's true,
like
though.
That.
Like, like, you know, like go to certain places. I'm sure there's other flight routes that have influence.
Well, yeah, that's why you like you always see
how people migrate.
You always see Canadians on vacation in like the islands and certain islands like Cancun and shit because I guess they have deals with them.
Well, there's an island. What's the? I think Bermuda in Canada is like Barbados. One of those
Canadians travel. They're just like we want to get the fuck out of here, and they just always end up on vacation next to you. Before like my show, like I've been to Canada. Like the only place I saw Canadians was in Jamaica, like in islands and shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're real people? The fuck? What were you saying though? Boston. Yeah, you were saying Boston, Aruba.
Well, you just see like these Boston people on the beach in Aruba and you're like, it is almost warm. They're like, what up, kid? You gonna go to the Dunkin'? And you're like, you can hear the voice in the distance.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay.
Would you live in Boston?
No, I would, there's a piece of me that like yearns for a not New York lifestyle recently.
Remember, I saw you in the West Village, right?
Right.
You live over there?
Live in the West Village, and I like it, but that's like a different, like, you do find yourself becoming more and more unrelatable, like, when living here. Like, we just live a different way.
Yeah.
Like, like, the idea of, like, not hang, like, I don't even, I have a couch, but I've, like, I don't sit on my couch and, I'm in a studio. Like, I'd rather go to a coffee
outside,
shop and just sit and stare and,
yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing for me because now, like, I'll go down to, like, Florida. I'll hang out, you know, in, like, with adults. And you're like,
Do I want this?
Right. Do I want this? Like, some of it's heartwarming. Some of it's annoying.
Yeah.
Some of it's very small to me. Like, you know, the trials and tribulations of, like, a bubble of, like, of a suburb. But then I kind of, like it. Like,
slower.
It's slower. But it's also, like, it's nice that they're that the problems are talking, like, you know, the local high school problems are kind of funny to me.
Right.
And here, everything feels like it doesn't matter, but you could make it matter at the same time. Mm. Like here, there's always something bigger. There's always someone doing better. And it's like, but I always,
but with
also
your you mind,
like you're in the lottery still here.
You know? Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, with your mind and like you're doing stand up every night, if you have that type of drive and stuff, like, I just don't think you would like it in a slower paced bubble like that.
Especially when I travel. Like doing comedy, we see the whole country. Like I see places in every time you go to a city, they're like, do you hate it? And I'm like, I could see myself living here too. Like there's nothing bad. Every place has a good place I could imagine living.
To live, yeah. But they don't have like a comedy scene where you're running around, you're doing your podcast, you know, like you're creative and stuff. Like,
but then you see some people in like Nashville, like they're doing it. Like,
well, they're creating a scene,
The idea, like this studio, I was taping my podcast in my apartment. Mm-hmm. So it was like podcast, bed, TV. It was not a livable 39-year-old life.
Right, right.
And you know, you move somewhere else, you can have like, put the studio, you can get a guy in there, make the studio in that corner.
Theo Von it.
Yeah, you could really do it. But you have to, I'm not there yet to be able to do that.
Do you want kids and shit?
I do. I think, I like the next phase. Like, I think it's, I want to see what the next season of the TV show looks like. You know, like I've seen this season. I'm in replays of The Office mode right now.
Yeah.
Like I've done the things I'm doing now and I'm like, I'm kind of getting a little itchy just to like.
Are you single?
I'm single.
Same.
Are you on dating apps and doing that?
I'm on Raya.
I got off them all over the summer.
Yeah.
I haven't been on.
I was only on Raya.
Yeah. Even Raya, you know, Raya's like a dance everyone goes to, but nobody dances.
Yes, exactly.
Everyone's
sitting around. Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's a nightclub we all wanted to get
into. My type comes up like one out of 300 girls. So I just scroll. I'm like, all right, I'm waiting for my type.
But then they're also like weird and not smart.
Yeah, then we like don't talk.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you got off the apps, like what's your plan, Jared?
I'm out every night.
You're out?
You know, like when you do stand-up, we're social people. We're more social than we want to believe. Even here. Like most people go to their job, they see the same people, they go home, they have their dinner, they go to the gym, they go to bed.
Yeah.
We have a lot of variables. So like I'm kind of like counting on that. Like I'm not concerned about it, but like I definitely more and more I know what I'm looking for, kind of how I'm looking to feel. But it's again, like it's hard because you go, this is a whole like lifestyle that I think like especially for me, it's like if I was to get in a relationship, it like the next like that's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
It's a total lifestyle.
Compromises and random shit.
Right.
Yeah. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for that.
Are you?
Yeah. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm ready for... I never thought of it that way. I thought that it was just... What'd you say?
You should be fixed up.
Like arranged marriage or something?
No, like... I mean, I guess...
Arranged relationship?
Yeah. Like...
I don't care. I'm desperate at this point.
But
I'm about to start going trans at this point.
So how are you going to...
Who cares? Just a little dick.
Oh.
No, because they're cooler than you fucking girls. Sorry.
Yeah. Wait, that threw me off. Wait,
or about to do it as trans people.
Oh.
Or about to...
I didn't even hear what you said.
Yeah, but. I said trans. Oh. Or about to... Or do an arranged shit. You know what I mean?
But you're going to be doing stand-up a lot now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for guys it's different.
I got to go to the stand, baby.
I don't need guys.
All the hot girls are at the stand.
Yeah, it's not a way to go. I always say, if you start stand-up with a girlfriend... or a boyfriend, that shall end.
I haven't had sex.
Why? Because of like the attention and shit?
I think when people start stand-up, they're like doing, whenever they start stand-up, they're going through something, usually.
Mm.
They're not really feeling good about their life. They want more. It's like getting a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And there's something that's in their head. I don't know what it is. I don't, you know, good, bad. It's just something.
Mm-hmm.
Something's noodling around.
I'll tell you, happening right now to me.
Right. I'm saying if you're with... Whenever I see someone who's like, yeah, married 10 years, I'm going to start stand up. I'm like, marriage over.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah, I think you're
girlfriend,
right.
Girlfriend, 2 years. I'm like,
yeah.
Because that girlfriend, that husband, that other person, they don't know something.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
their partner's going through something enough to get on stage and say it to strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you see it all the time. It's like, I think it more often than not when someone starts with someone.
It's a good
like,
point.
And also like stand up, you have to be willing to like, you have to be willing to say yes to a lot of things that people won't understand.
Yeah.
Yes. I was telling her last podcast, I was like, holy shit, this is like the first time in a long time where like my goal now every night when, you know, the sun goes down is to like be like, where can I get on stage tonight?
Right.
And not what date can I go on?
Right.
You know,
so maybe you don't want a relationship.
No, I do. But like now I'm like, wait, what
the
fuck?
How are you going to do it? You know what I mean?
She wants to keep me single forever.
Dated.
Yo, if I tell her that.
Single?
Yeah.
If I tell her I have a date, she goes, you're not committed to the game. She's like, you can't do it. She can't do it.
It's different for guys. You know what I mean? How so? I mean, my lifestyle as a woman is so unappealing to a man. You know what I mean? I feel like for a girl, a stand-up comedian guy's hot. And it's like, I mean, it's like a little intimidating, but it's like, oh my God, you're funny.
He's out working.
He's working and whatnot. But like when I am seeing a guy and I'm like out every fucking night, and I'm like, I'd rather.
Well, her night ends at like 2 a.m. every night. You know what I mean?
And it's just, they don't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, it doesn't have to end.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, no, from my experience, like, you know, you do your spots and you go home. Or
yes, yeah, Sienna. Out, yeah, but they're late, though. She works at, like, midnight.
Yeah, I'll do, like, the midnight shows a lot.
Yeah.
The Stand.
They do a midnight show?
On the weekends.
Oh, the week.
Yeah. But then, yeah. I mean, I guess I could try harder.
What, to like do the schedule or something?
Yeah, I could date people during
the
day. To
me, there's no trying for dating.
Yeah.
And this is a very, you know, kind of female thing that's like light on, light off of dating.
Yeah.
And men are more, I think, generally just like dimmer switches with dating. Like, I think a lot of men kind of have this belief that this like angel is going to float in their life and change their mind. Mm. They're willing to change their whole life for this one person.
That's so true.
And it's not something... It's something you look back on, you can tell the story about afterwards a lot. And that's why you see like a lot. Oh, like you saw Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce was like, my wife came into my life and I knew the minute I saw her. It's like you swiped each other on a dating app.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like to, don't dress this up.
Yeah. You know? They're like rewriting history a little bit because they
always.
Yeah.
Because it's just a more fun story to tell and, you know, probably still get some blown, you know? Yeah. So it's like, and, like, but I'm saying like, I do think like a lot of men operate in this like, when it happens, it happens. And like, you know, from the women, especially the ones that write into my podcast, it's always like, I am now in. I am making commitment to dating. It feels very work.
It feels like work. That's why I was like, fuck.
Well, I don't like the committing to the dating part, but I think that when you do find the person, if they just somehow come into your life, you have to have the commitment to be in the relationship. Oh, and I never really did that. And I'm not talking about just monogamy.
Yeah.
I mean commitment in terms of like all the sacrifices you have to make. It's kind of like another job in your life. I don't want to say like being in a relationship, it feels like a job.
Yeah.
But it's like a responsibility. It takes like discipline, structure. You know what I mean?
That's why, I think, you know, a lot of guys think that way. That's why, like, when you have, like, people, you know, a lot of women will write in and be like, hey, he said he doesn't know why, he's just not ready for a relationship. And is that an excuse? And it's like, he's not ready for the responsibility.
Yes, yeah.
And I think a lot of, like, you know, people feel that, you know, like, oh, this is, I want to feel good about giving myself to this.
Yeah. And like when I'm dating women, they'll do a thing where they're like I'm open to this, but at the same time, I still want to, you know, be able to go travel. I still want to be able to have my career. Still want to be able to do like all these different things. And I'm like, it just doesn't sound like, it sounds like me. It sounds like me like 7 years ago where I just like was saying that. I'm like, I'm not ready for that responsibility.
The problem.
And I'm not saying responsibility like it's a fucking job. It's just like, it takes like some responsibility.
But the problem you have is someone's going to date you and they're going to go, and you're going to go, I'm going to do the open mic. And they're like, but you don't need to do that. And
that's true.
And you're going to have to say, I do need to do that. Yeah. And it's like, someone's going to have to understand that your need to do that isn't monetary.
Right.
It's not, it's to feed this other thing that you have undone.
Yeah. And also,
well, it's hard to understand. That's hard to find someone who understands that.
It is kind of monetary though, like, because right now at this moment, it's not. But I'm always trying to like set myself up for like the next thing down the road. You know what I mean? And, you know, I was doing like the Chippendales thing, which that must be a weird thing for them to swallow. No pun intended. But, you know, stand up, I want to be the next thing. My dream is to just be able to do what you do and just be like, you know what? I'm in fucking Illinois for the weekend, you know what I mean? And like see your fans there and like have a good time.
It,
you know?
It seems more fun than it is. I mean, like that's stressful
too. Well, maybe
like,
I won't do every weekend.
Like I'm going to Minneapolis and Royal Oak, Michigan. And
dude,
I'm,
that's
like,
awesome.
I'm excited to do
that. You know what also, because maybe you don't see it from my perspective. It's like, I've done all that shit to just do club appearances where you just go and they just hire you and you just feel like, like I feel like a little like, I don't want to say the word like sound like so fucking, dramatic, but like worthless, where it's like, what am I doing? Like, why am I hired here for all this money and I'm not giving anything back?
Right. Well, that's to these people. That goes back to like working on stand up and like the craft of it. Like,
yeah,
being excited about a bit, being excited about the hour that, like, for me, like, I understand what you're saying. Like, I feel that because, like, I'm excited to go to Minneapolis and I'm excited to go to Royal Oak and, like, do those shows. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the hour I'm putting on. A little bit of me is like, I want to come back here in 2 years. What's the next hour going to be? Like, I'm already
Yeah.
So, like, that's what stresses me out. Not the shows, because they're going to be great.
Yeah.
It's like you're saying, like, am I set up for the next thing? Where is this going to go? Like, will this special get made again? Mm-hmm. You know, like, all those things. But these are the stresses of life. Like,
yeah, those are good. No, they're great stresses.
I think the problem we have is, you know, in the creator space is like, we don't have promotions and, you know, 9 to 5 where you can turn it off. It feels like it's on all the time. It feels like it's rattling.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, I'm trying to get better at is like I'm going to go to my brother's wedding. Have the weekend.
Just fucking have the weekend.
Have a weekend at the brother's wedding.
He's going to be doing the speech, but that's a good bit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like,
Let's write a sketch about it.
I mean, the speech might bomb. That might be the next story I
That's
tell.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you don't know. And it's
the
like
creative mind just doesn't shut off. I think
it's
so
important.
You gotta, so it's like, and that's the hardest thing is like, okay, I go, like you were saying, like I'm out till midnight. I could take it down. I'm the same way where it's like, I'll do every show. Mm-hmm. Recently, I'm like, I take Mondays off to do The Bachelor. I take Tuesdays off for myself to do dinner. I'll go on stage Wednesday. I'm out of town on Thursday. Like,
yeah.
I like that schedule, but we have to change all the time. That's the hardest part is like, you know, change is so hard and everyone knows that. And we have to change our stuff every month, you know, like
starting over.
Right. So
that's where I have a little bit of a leg up just because like, I feel like if you are grinding from nothing and starting out, it's like, I have to do these every fucking single night. Cause I'd be getting FOMO too. Like now I've only been doing it for fucking 3 weeks every night. But if I miss a night, I'm like, holy shit, I just missed a night. Right. But at the end of the day, like a second layer comes in. They're like, yo, Vinny, you're good. Like,
I heard
you have a bank account, you know.
For anyone doing stand up, the best advice I heard was Bill Burr said it. I took it from him. I sopped it up. If you're just getting a new minute a week, you're doing the right thing. And then I heard George Wallace say at the Gotham the other night, if you do a new minute a week, if you have a new minute that you like every week, okay, new, you know, that means at the end of the year, you got 52 minutes.
Wow.
That's an hour. Yeah. That's special.
Wait, but when you do a new, this is me just asking advice. When you do the new minute, now though, don't you have to keep working that minute out?
Because here's the thing. Effort for
that's why I'm finding things too. Cause like I'll think of a new minute. I'm like, oh, that worked. But now I'm like, do I just fucking keep saying that minute instead? Because I don't think of a new minute. You know what I mean?
But the new minute, if you're trying, I always thought of it this way. Maybe I don't have the ability to write 52 great minutes a week or 1 minute every week for 52. But if I try for 52, I might get to 30. You know, like
reach for the moon,
right? And then you'll get, and it'll settle, and then over the years you get better at stand up, and now maybe when you're going for 52, you get to 40.
Yeah,
you know. So I think what I'm saying as far as like this week, the new minute. Now that you put that in the act for the next week with another new minute, or you extend,
but you only get like
the
10 minutes
What's
or
that?
You only get like 10 minutes or whatever.
Sure, and then sometimes things that you thought were good in the new minute from week one. Week 10, you might go, I hate that.
Yeah.
But it became the next thing. Like, this is all like perspective. Mm-hmm. It's taking something that's so large. And like, again, like I had that story, 2 minutes, now it's an hour 10. I kept like adding on. Okay, that part I like. I'll add on. Oh, wait, what would, you know, like when I talk about looking in the mirror and looking at my body. Then I started talking about like beach chairs. And I was like, oh, I hate how I look in a beach chair. So it's like, and then I started talking about that. So like, it got me from one joke, it got me to the next topic. And it takes something that's like really a mountain and turns it into a molehill. Like it's like
condensing it.
Right. And it's like, you work on things a little over time. It's how everything works.
Yeah. Are you not doing any of your material from your hour?
None of it.
Okay. That's amazing.
So yeah, it's all new. It's all... I like doing it.
So you have another special that's lined up already, you said?
I hope so.
You're working on it now and then you'll, you know.
Try to tape it.
But the last one is on Netflix.
It's on right now.
Yep.
It's 37 and single.
37 and single.
It's on there. It's talk about dating, body issues, all the normal stuff, my family.
I got the J-Train podcast.
J-Train, the U Up podcast.
U Up podcast.
Stuff, yeah.
And I'm going to, whenever Jared will have me, I'm going to go do that.
Come on J-Train. We'll have a great time.
I do
this thing called TikToks that make me feel. Uh-huh. And we bring up just any TikTok that makes me like feel a certain way.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not that I hate it, not that I love it. I just felt. Uh-huh. You know, you ever like, and you're like, why am I here?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
How was your episode with Joey, the Bachelor episode?
Awesome.
Yeah.
That guy is a good guy.
He is.
Like, he came on You Up and we did like a. I say that I'm 10% away from every guy someone's dating.
Uh huh.
So, like, if I give an answer to someone's question about a guy, I might not be 100% on, but I'm right around within a standard deviation away.
Yeah.
So we do this game where like we put me versus a guy to show if we answer within 10% of each other.
Oh, that's funny.
And
like a random guy or something.
Yeah, or we just whoever the celeb, you know,
that's
Joey
came on. Yeah.
And you've known you up. And Jordana.
Yeah, I don't think you were there. Oh, were we there?
I was there.
Oh, okay,
we did,
okay.
It was maybe the old offices, but Jordana asked the questions. And so we like, you know, would you go for breakfast after sleeping with someone? Mm-hmm. Like, does it matter to you? Like, things like that. And Joey, like, for someone who's in a position where he has to say the right things, it's ABC.
Yeah.
He's got to be, like, he was fun.
Yeah,
he was just a good
guy.
Like, you know, like, he handled it so well. He laughed at himself.
Yeah.
You know, so I... And most of the
I'm the opposite. They have to fucking muzzle me because like I'm part of the conglomerate, but like I'm from Jersey Shore, not the Bachelor. So, but they're like, no, you're still part of this Viacom. Like, bro, you got to chill.
Yeah. Right. You got to make sure.
Yeah.
You got a publicist. It's like, we're going to have to take out this and that.
But yo, thanks for coming on. We've been here an hour. Jared Freed. Follow him everywhere. Watch his specials. Watch his stand up. And you're the man. Enjoy your wedding too.
I'm excited.
I want to hear the fucking speech, dude.
I'm going to tell the story of how they met.
Because I've heard you do stand-up.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I've heard you stand-up. I need to hear, because it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny to me no matter what, because it's you. You know what I mean? They might be waiting for punchlines, but
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, I'll tell you the story. So, my brother asked me to be his best man on a podcast that we both listened to.
Oh, wow.
So, like, Tony Kornheiser, the PTI... Mm-hmm. He's on ESPN. So okay, Pardon the Interruption.
Sports one.
Great show.
Yeah. Oh, PTI, yeah.
And then Tony Kornheiser has a podcast that we both listen to. So my brother wrote in to ask me to be his best man
because
he reads emails at the end. And I've also been a guest on the show.
Uh-huh.
So the email that he wrote was kind of stepping on the things I want to talk about in the speech. Like it's like about how he met his wife and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, no one's going to hear this. You know,
right.
It's just I'm going to tell these stories. And my dad, so my brother sends it to the family group chat, like, you know, listen to starting at minute 52. It's from a couple, last Friday. So my dad listened, and it's really good. My brother wrote a really good letter, but the story that I wanted to tell is really good. It's an interesting story. And Tony reads it and all this stuff. And my dad goes, you should just play that.
Mm.
And I'm like, play that?
Yeah.
We're going to. My brother's going to give himself a best man speech?
Right.
Steal it. Right. I was like, I'm going to do my version.
Yeah. And
he's like, well, why would you just play that? It's already done. It's good. And I'm like, in what world at a wedding? I was so annoyed. I was like, in what world at a wedding is someone pressing play?
Right.
And anyone listening to that? Like,
that's weird.
Right. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not how it goes. And he was like, well, I don't know why you would. Well, yeah, you find a new story. I'm like, no. Not
love your dad giving
story.
You speech comedy advice. That's great.
Oh, it's like adamant. It was crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm excited to hear it either.
I'll send it to you.
Thanks for coming, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You guys.
That was a great conversation.
That was great. Fun.
Thank you guys.
You
so
got
much.
Deep.
What's up, guys? If you like the episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. We are building this thing from the ground up, so we need your help, and hopefully we can make this really big one day. Love you.